Incoming transmission. Incoming transmission. Let's boogie.
Welcome to Nildog. I'm Dave Michaels.
I'm Brian Betts.
We're both famously not trolls.
That's right.
Nor goblins, though.
We're also not goblins.
Admittedly, not either of those things.
A little bit more of a troll than a goblin.
Hey, to admit it, not wrong, though.
Definitely more of a troll than this movie.
Even though this is two trolls.
Allegedly, the sequel to Troll.
There's somebody who'll get theirs because this week we are talking about what might be the Holy Grail of B movies, of bad movies. We are talking 1990s Troll 2, directed by Claudio Fragasso.
Claudio Fragasso.
Also written by Claudio Fragasso and his wife, Rosella Drudy.
Rosella Drudy.
Did you hear about Claudio Fragasso and Rosella Drudy?
Very Italian. Very Italian. Whole Italian crew. We're going to do this movie in Utah.
The famous Italian province of Utah. Oh, this movie happened. And give me your thoughts on it. Because had you seen it before?
I had never even heard of it. This is all brand new to me.
But had you seen any clips or anything on the internet? Did you know any lore or anything?
No, I didn't even, like, I know now that this has been memeified, but I've not been brought in on that loop. I'm late on the arrival of that.
You're late, but now you're pregnant with Troll 2 for the rest of your life.
Forever.
Tell me your thoughts on it.
This was an adventure. We've seen some movies that that are not good, script-wise or technical-wise or just story-wise.
Movie-wise, just existing-wise.
This one is the funniest, I think, in just the way that it's presenting things. And I can't tell what's intentional and what's not.
What if I told you it's all intentional?
Well, then I would say you sound a lot like Rosella Drudy.
Yeah, none of it. None of this is there. It was two people who spoke Italian directing this movie of people who did not speak Italian. And believe it or not, they weren't on the same page. And not to mention that Rosella Drudy wrote this screenplay because she was out with friends one day. And then they were like, we're vegetarian now. And she's like, bitch, please, I'm going to write a screenplay about fuck vegetarians. How they're little goblins. I'm on a screenplay about it.
Story about how you guys are just goblins. Gobbling your vegetables.
That's my Italian accent. It's
extremely accurate.
Nailed it.
You know what, though? It does sound like every Italian I've met in New Jersey.
You wish you could hop on that gravy train.
The gravy in question is actually tomato-based. What about you? What is your history with Troll 2?
I knew it existed. I knew a little bit of the lore behind it. Mostly like, oh, it's one of the worst movies ever made. The worst movies of all time. I've seen the clip in this movie. That's it.
It's funny because I had never seen the clip, but I already know exactly what you're talking about.
The clip.
The clip.
It's the new Aragorn's broken toe. The clip.
You know it.
That's the IMDb trivia fact. That and Harrison Ford used to be a carpenter.
That's right. He did.
I love this movie.
This movie was a ton of fun.
I really liked it while watching it. And then after learning more about it and watching the documentary Best Worst Movie, I adore this movie.
Oh, wow.
This is way, way, way up there on things for me. This is exciting.
Yeah. That is exciting. I knew that there was a documentary, and I've heard good things about the documentary, but I have not watched it.
This is one of those where you know how I unabashedly defend Freddy Got Fingered?
Yes.
I have a new Freddy Got Fingered.
Famous words. Definitely a sentence that has been said before in history.
Freddy only got one finger. Look at me. I got two now. This is fantastic.
Whew.
That prostate's milking.
Keep it up. You're going to have a whole fist up there. What?
Huh?
What?
This is going to score high, buddy. This is going to score really, really high.
It feels like it might. Of course, we're talking about the patented schlockometer, 10 categories of arbitrary but scientifically proven B-movie credentials that we will be rating this movie on. One movie, 10 categories. The first category is audacity, but before we can determine that, we need to tell you the tale of Troll 2.
Dot, dot, dot. There are no trolls in this movie.
Not a single one.
Zero trolls. Plenty of goblins. Plenty yeah, also, of named goblins.
You do not have to watch Troll to understand what's happening in Troll 2, because there is literally no connecting tissue between them.
The movie was called Goblins. And then Claudio Fragasso saw, like, the cover for Troll, so it was doing well. He went, let's call this Troll 2. And then Rosella Drudy's like, I think that's a great idea, Batch. That's perfect.
But if you hear them now, they're like, well, it was not our idea. They did it to us.
I'm realizing that. I was like, my Italian male sounds like Antonio Banderas doing an Italian accent.
Yeah, what's the problem?
You're absolutely right.
Antonio sounds like a pretty Italian name.
And then that would get plenty of puss in boots. No trolls! It was called Goblins. They named it Troll 2 strictly for the advertising to fool people into renting it. That was it.
Yep. It worked.
The rest that follows doesn't actually matter. That's the audacity when you think about it.
When you actually think about it, yes, it is.
There's a movie called Goblins that was an anti-vegetarian movie that they eventually named Trolls 2 to take advantage of it. There's nothing, no connecting tissue, no nothing.
They're not related.
Nothing to do with each other. How the hell does that work?
How is it even legal?
I have no idea. I should look into that, actually.
Like, if I put out a movie and I just called it Iron Man 4, is that allowed?
If you grow your hair out, you can call it Iron Man 4.
Now we're talking.
Work backwards.
Work backwards. You take out your hair gradually. Work smarter, not harder.
It's like Boyhood, but in reverse. So yeah. Benjamin Button. Are you ready for this?
Oh, I was born ready for this.
The Waits family decides to go on a relaxing rural vacation by doing a house swap with a family in a farming town called Nilbog. The youngest son, Joshua, is actively being warned not to go by his dead ghost grandpa, Seth, who visits him as a ghost to read him bedtime stories about goblins. You can read all of that as, he haunts the hell out of this kid.
He's haunting this child.
This grandpa has unfinished business on Earth, and he is taking it out on his grandson.
Maybe his unfinished business is scaring the hell out of his grandson.
Thinking about ghosts and Claudio Ragazzo. How did he not do Ghostbusters, like, 3?
He did, but he called it something else.
Slime Loser Man 1. New franchise.
No, it's called Back to the Future 4.
It takes place now.
Oh,
that's art.
That's guys, Nilbog, the town that they visit, it spelled backwards is goblin.
Get it?
Nilbog backwards is goblin.
This movie is gobbling my nuts. That is fucking horrible.
Well, you know what? It beats the alternative. Like, Lorat is not a good town name.
That's true. Oh, there's two of those towns. I can't believe it. Claudio.
Wait, we're vacationing in two Lorat? The villains are strict vegetarian goblins dressed in burlap sacks and cheap rubber masks. Because they're vegetarians, they have to feed the humans a magic green potion that turns them into plant matter before they can eat them. Because they're ethical cannibals or whatever.
Yeah, vegetarians. I know. We've all seen Scott Pilgrim. We know how it works.
Yeah.
That's vegan powers. Ooh, yeah, that's so much worse.
They don't have like telekinesis and stuff. They're not vegan.
That's right, Kyle. What do you think of like the magic green potion? Because the only thing I thought of was Luke Skywalker milking the thing.
Oh, the blue milk. Jedi.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny that they keep talking about the green potion, but like there's multiple times where it's just milk. It's just regular milk.
Just regular milk. Just dyed green. It might as well just be like a shamrock shake in there.
Yeah, but sometimes it's not even dyed. It's just milk. Like, why is it sometimes green and sometimes not? Whenever they bake it into food, it's green. But like, they're just like, hey, drink this milk. But the milk looks fine. I don't know.
They like, could have like putin'd it. It's like a little sprinkle in there. They're like, it's fine. You could drink it.
You could drink it.
Oh, Bill Cosby. Go ahead.
That was a great Putin impression. It's fine. No worries, you could drink it. In Soviet Russia, milk drinks you.
In Soviet Russia, sweat wears you. When the family arrives at the Nilbog house, they find a massive weird feast waiting for them. Grandpa Seth, keep in mind he's a ghost, freezes time to warn Joshua that the food is poisoned. So to save his family from eating the food, Joshua stands on a table, unzips his pants, and pees all over the dinner, everything. He peed all over the food, all over it. He peed all over the food so hard that his dad tightens his belt around it just to remind him how hungry he is. If I tighten my belt, I won't go hungry anymore.
Yes, these American shows, they're always talking about the belt, for punishment, the belt. I think it's just they tighten it to make child feel guilty. That was somewhere between Italian and Russian. I lost the plot halfway through it.
In Mother Russia, belt wears you. I could say that. My dad fought on that side.
I like that this kid is just like, no, I believe this ghost grandpa. I'm just going to pee on the table.
I love how the mom openly says, like, Grandpa Seth died 6 months ago. You were at his funeral. You're fine. Also, I'm fine. No one's asked me about this. I put myself last in this movie all the time. I'm a good movie mom.
I'm a great movie mom. I also need to reiterate that Grandpa Seth was my dad.
He's my dad. I'm not going to have this be. I have to like lean back while I do my Rosella. No, that's not Rosella Drudy. She's Italian too, by the way. She's super Italian.
So Italian. I can hear it.
I don't want this to be a confusing Grandpa Joe situation where we don't know who the daughter man is. It is which one of their kids is dead? Why are we not talking enough about that? We need to make Willy Bonka and the Baka Thackaby. Straight to laser disc.
Charlie the Chocolate Factory 2. It's going to be about goblins.
Ah, it's perfect. It's absolutely perfect.
The family's teenage daughter, Holly, gets upset at her boyfriend because he shows up to this little getaway, like what they originally planned. But he shows up in an RV with his three idiot friends. And he's treating this whole thing like it's a frat trip instead of hanging out with his girlfriend.
But they park far enough away from them.
They're like not even in the same zip code, it seems.
Is the RV broken? Is the RV not movable at this point? Or are they just not trying?
I just don't think they're trying. I think they're like, this is a good place to park. We live here now.
You think this is like a Canadian kidnapping of just like, they're not going to check the door. We can leave it unlocked. It's fine. Yeah, it's we all saw fine. Bowling for Columbine when for some reason he had to talk about that. And then smog. It made no sense in this movie. Yeah, I've had issues about Bowling for Columbine for years. And believe it or not, it's not that shooting. It's the filming of it.
Now, are they bowling on behalf of Columbine or to receive a Columbine? That's the question everybody always asked about bowling for soup.
Kingpin situation where you get like months and your hand gets put in the thing. That's a great movie. We should talk about that one day.
Kingpin would be fun.
That's a B movie of a sports movie. It wants to be. It's not. It's so good. So one of Elliot's idiot friends wanders off and meets a girl in the woods. And they just have a run-in with some goblins.
Yeah, she's running away.
But they also try to do the sex a little bit. Then she runs away harder.
Do they? Or does he try to do the sex to her while she's trying to escape goblins?
This feels like a weird time to say it, but I feel like it's important to say it. Release the files.
It had to be said. This feels like the most appropriate place in the movie to do it.
There's no trolls in this movie. No files in this movie. We could talk about them both. Two things could exist at once.
We're going to call it Epstein Island 2.
We're going to call it Trolls 3. Release the files. Not the Kazakhstan version. So a goblin's going to throw a spear through his shoulder. Elliot's got a spear in his shoulder. So the two run away and find a house where a very eccentric lady feeds them this weird green broth and they just drink it.
Yeah.
Just all willy-nilly.
Solve all their problems with the goblins chasing them. I almost said trolls. They are not. Don't do that. So important to know that. They are not trolls.
I can't stress enough that so far in this movie, every single person is super duper kidnappable.
Oh, yeah.
Like, roll up to next to him in a van. You don't even have to open the door. You don't have to do much. Like, do you maybe turn the music up a little bit higher just so they get, like, interest peaked or something? Like, take advantage of their...
What's in that van? I'm going to go check it out.
Everybody's super kidnappable. Everybody.
Very.
This dude falls for a forest lady. No questions asked.
To be fair, the forest lady also gets turned into green goo.
She does get turned into green goo, but this dude, Arnold, he says the line here.
He says the line.
Do you want to say the line? Because you've never heard the line.
I've only heard the line one time.
Are you going to put, like, pedestal that line, you think?
Oh, I might. I have it written down, so, like, it definitely touched me, speaking of the files.
Arnold starts to sweat in green. He turns into this half-human, half-tree thing that's potted into it's potted plant man. It's a potted plant man. There's no way to put it. It's potted plant man.
Yeah.
He gets got by a gang of trolls because they love them plants.
It's their favorite food. Half man, half plant.
They're not trolls. They're gobos. They just want to eat those plants. That's
goblin
it.
Plant people. They're eating her. And then they're going to eat me. Oh my God.
That delivery. Somehow more wooden than Arnold turns into.
He turns into a tree man. I made a Groot joke. Guys, come hang out in our Monday night movie, Midnight Madness. That's not at midnight. I never know what it's actually called.
10 p.m.
10 p.m. Eastern.
The only time zone that should exist. Like, when they fix daylight savings, they should fix that also.
The next step is everything is on Eastern time? Okay.
Everything's EST.
You and your East Coast privilege.
And they should treat it like the radio, where it doesn't actually start in the hours. And then you could just keep the EST for just, like, estimated time. It's like, throw it in there. Like, it's going to start at, like, 6-ish.
6-ish. Somewhere around 6. When it feels right.
It's going to make people not care as much about time. They're going to get parts of their life back. Their life's not going to be run by a clock all the time. When people say, like, yeah, I have to get there for 6-ish. You get, like, a 15-minute window on either side, I feel like. Right? That's appropriate.
Yeah, I mean, if you got 15-minute windows on either side, you really only need the hours and the half hours at that point.
Is 90 minutes too late?
Probably.
So, Elliot, the idiot boyfriend. I forgot all about this car driving scene. When they're driving to Nilbog. The thing that gets me about it is I can't remember the name Nilbog. I have to think of, what's goblin backwards?
Oh, yeah. How do you, goblin, Nilbog, yeah.
But they have a whole driving scene, and, like, the Elliot man was going to come with them, and they waited 90 minutes for him to show up, and he didn't show up, and then it turns out he showed up with his buddies in an RV, and she said, dude, don't show up with your buddies. We're done if that happens. And then, Elliot's a piece of shit.
Elliot is a piece of shit. Like, he just does stuff intentionally the way that Holly doesn't want him to do it.
I'm trying to give any character to anybody in this movie.
You know what it is?
I'm trying.
Holly's like, we're going to get some alone time up at Nilbog. And he was like, I'm not ready. I'm going to hang out with the boys.
They do hang out with the boys. There are multiple times where it's just men laying together, shirtless,
for some reason in an RV. Where did they get an RV?
I don't know. They're very good friends, and it's not like there's anything wrong with it. It's
just four great friends in an RV
who are very comfortable with themselves. So comfortable that they will try to bone a forest woman.
To try to bone a forest woman to prove that I don't know what.
I don't know what either. Elliot, I don't know what anymore.
Get down with Holly, it seems. I don't know. I don't know what's happening.
Love this movie so much.
The entire town of Nilbog is, everybody that lives there is a goblin in disguise, including the local sheriff and the reverend and everybody. They are relentlessly stalking the family and aggressively trying to force them to eat and drink this green Nilbog milk or anything made from the Nilbog milk. They have poisoned hospitality cakes that look a lot like that the Baja Blast pie that came out last year that should have never existed.
Ew.
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead, Google it. Take a look at that and see if that's something that appetizes you, because that's what every food item in this movie looks like.
They didn't need the whipped cream in the movie nor on the Baja Blast pie.
It's like they were trying to elevate it, but it's already Baja Blast pie. It doesn't need elevation. It's already suspect to begin with.
Your Taco Bell. Just put some Doritos on it or something. Make it like you don't have to do much.
Yeah.
People aren't going there with right minds right now or ever. Because now it's like anti-vegetarian, so it actually would be the safest place to go.
That's in true.
The Nilbog world. If you want to survive, just open a Taco Bell franchise.
The Nilbog Taco Bell still has a problem with their lettuce.
No, they don't. They're not going to have it right now. They're going to offer a $1.99 meal, and they're going to say it's lettuce-free, and that's exactly what's happening right now. It's their enchirito.
Oh, yeah. The enchirito has no lettuce.
No lettuce. Lettuce makes you poop, apparently.
Also, guys, stop blaming Taco Bell. It's Taylor Farms. We all know it.
We all know it. Corruption's a thing. Thief is a scam. Release the files. I can't believe this is how this life is going with Troll 2.
Cyclospora.
What else isn't in this movie?
Diarrhea lettuce. What else can we cover here?
Enter Credence Leonore Gielgud. She's that witch in the Clearwater Revival lady, goblin queen. Not a troll. Still not a troll.
Not a troll. Some sort of goblin witch.
She lives in the cabin. She's the one who gives the broth to the people, and they just drink it all willy-nilly. They probably saw like Young Frankenstein and like, that's Gene Hackman blind man. Look how hospitable he is.
I'm going to drink this all willy-nilly.
I'm going to need a second on that one. This lady wildly reacts in every single scene. Everything that she does is just...
Oh, yeah.
She'll never go hungry again. She's chewing all the scenery. It's all getting chewed.
Which is good, because I don't think she does much work after this. It's actually a shame, because she might be the only person who read the script and understood the assignment.
She got it completely.
Yeah.
Completely.
Totally.
This witch lady, Brian's giving me the eyes look, and I can't focus on anything right now. It's the look that the not troll queen gives this entire movie. It's a very eye acting heavy performance.
It's a lot of
like her eyes are never going hungry ever again. She draws her power from this magical glowing rock that she has. That's the Stonehenge magic stone.
They really went with the first thought on that naming.
Why not? And also, did they? Because hear me out. Rosella Judy wrote the script, and she wrote it Italian because she's Italian,
right?
And then Claudio Fraselli read it, and he's like, I can make this in English. And then they translated it directly from an Italian to English Webster's Dictionary word for word, and that's why a lot of this shit doesn't make sense.
That's incredible.
And it sounds like it's a word perfect. It sounds very much like that's what it is on this set.
Yeah. I read multiple times that the actors have said, like, they offered to translate and, you know, improv the line a little bit to make it more contextual sense.
You cannot do that. You cannot do that. It's not human to do that.
Claudio Fragasso was not having it.
He was not having it. He's such an artiste.
Do not alter my words.
Best worst movie. He openly talks about he felt it was important for him to go to Utah and be amongst the people of Utah to really settle in. And that's why he's actually more American than even American directors. Yes, that's a direct quote.
This movie does feel like it has that specific Utah energy.
You hear that? My hubby's got that BDA.
It's more American than Americans.
So you're just dropping bombs, and he's dropping bombs with his deck.
Troth bombs. You don't even need trolls in a troll movie if you have goblins. Credence is going to seduce one of the other idiots from the RV by offering him an ear of corn. Because what's sexier than an ear of corn?
Think about that, though. Think about that for a second. I don't think want you to it. Just dismiss that thought.
Yeah, no.
Don't, you're not I'm, allowed to dismiss that
I'm
thought
actually
right now.
Asking.
What is more sexy than an ear of corn? And then I actually want you to write in.
Yeah.
And tell me what the first... I don't even... If you thought of a fruit or vegetable right away, I'm curious why. I know we're talking here about corn. You didn't have to do that.
You didn't have to go fruit or vegetable, but it's too late now. That's where you went, you weirdo.
You need to write in and let us know what you thought about first thing.
bmovieboyspod@gmail.com. Tell us what the sexiest thing to offer an idiot in an RV is.
No kink shaming here. None.
None whatsoever. So they're going to lady and the tramp this ear of corn. And it's going to suddenly fill the room violently with popping popcorn until Brent. It's Brent.
Who gives a shit?
Who cares? He drowns in popcorn.
How do you drown in popcorn?
He suffocates and dies from the massive amount of popcorn that appeared out of this single corn cob.
I get that they were eating... I don't know how it even happens. They were both eating corn the long way together.
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 It's hot. Hot enough to pop the corn.
It was popcorn. My issue with drowning in popcorn, it's more that it's famously mostly air.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, I remember being in high school and doing the egg drop experiment and forgetting I had to do it that day, and then buying a couple bags of popcorn at lunch and then putting them in a Ziploc bag and putting the egg in there and dropping it off the back of the bleachers. Yeah, that bitch didn't break. Because it's mostly air.
Very intuitive. I love that idea.
Yeah, when you're in a corner, you come out swinging, you get what you can. And when you can't get any more, you make excuses. And you hope that they're not counting how many uncles have died in your family. That semester.
Nobody knows how many siblings your parents have. Use it.
I heard it's from an Irish family.
Popcorn. It's not just for egg drops anymore.
Apparently it's for dying in it. It shouldn't be. It shouldn't. You could choke on it. I get that.
You could choke on it, but maybe, just maybe, if the kernels are small enough.
I don't know.
You
oh,
can
boy.
Suffocate. Yeah, you've never gotten like that one kernel... Stuck
of course
in your throat.
I have. I'm a human being, Brian. I've lived this life.
You just had a movie last night. You probably got a kernel stuck in your throat right now.
Probably. It's probably still sitting there just waiting. And I wouldn't know.
It just tickles your throat. And then next thing you know, choking. And if there's more kernels right there to take its place, I could see it.
Circle of life. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe this movie's not very good.
Circle
Who's
of
to
life,
say?
He says. I'm just excited we got a popcorn death. It's very rare.
For obvious reasons.
Because it doesn't make sense.
So Joshua, he's the little boy. He manages to contact Ghost Grandpa Seth again from another dimension. It doesn't seem that hard to do.
She's like, Grandpa, where are you? And he just Zordons in the mirror.
In this case, he Zordons in the mirror and he literally hands the child a Molotov cocktail to throw at a goblin.
As you do.
The goblin blows up its human disguise and it reveals its true rubbery form. It's Goblin! Look
and
at
now
him.
The whole town is
oh
like,
oh boy!
Oh no, you revealed our secret. Now we have to aggressively attack you.
Yeah, they do.
So now that the whole family actually knows what's going on.
I got big time Gremlins vibes here.
Gremlins vibes? Yeah. There's that. I mean, the stuff. The whole time, the stuff.
Oh, the stuff the entire way.
Yeah.
Also, I'm pretty sure I just read there's like a director's cut of like the of Gremlins coming out. That's like 2.5 hours, something like that.
2.5 hours. Like they just recently found it somewhere.
Or something like that.
That's
director's
exciting.
Cuts. I don't know how it works.
I still want to see all of the other rating of Mrs. Doubtfire, all the Robin Williams cuts.
They say it ends up on the cutting room floor. Then they have director's cuts. Is no one sweeping up?
Somebody's got to sweep it up. Might as well be the director. I'm going to use these later. So the family barricade themselves inside the Nilbog house, and they hold a seance to contact Grandpa Seth one more time in the afterlife, And that's when he gives Joshua a paper bag that holds a secret weapon to use against the goblins when the time is right.
There are too many people taking things from people they shouldn't be taking things from.
How often can you hand somebody something from the afterlife?
In this movie, twice now. Twice. I've never seen ghosts, but they look like they're touching.
Grandpa, are you in hell? No, but I learned it from this from a guy who was.
Grandpa's got unfinished what? Business and he's haunting this child.
And giving him Molotov cocktails. And the kid just knows how to use it. It's amazing.
I mean, he's a kid. He's probably played Grand Theft Auto. Come on. That's I understand it's 1990, but come on.
Come on.
So Joshua, he figures out that since the goblins are strict vegetarians, they're terrified of meat. Naturally, of course.
As all vegetarians are.
He saves his family from a mob by holding up a double-decker bologna sandwich. I'm not going to say bologna, because that's what this movie's full of. He takes a bite of the bologna sandwich. I said it. I'll say the word. He said the word. Goblins are disgusted by this. Disgusted by this little boy eating a double-decker bologna sandwich.
How could you? Kudos to Grandpa for giving him this secret weapon.
To bologna.
What do you think a bologna sandwich from the afterlife tastes like?
Claudia Fragasa, I'm going to put bologna on the map. This is the way. Double-decker. Things are bigger in America.
Double-decker. No self-respecting American would eat a single-decker bologna sandwich. I know this because I'm more American than the Americans.
Double it.
However much bologna you think, double it. Deus ex bologna. Joshua manages to touch the Stonehenge magic stone, which obviously defeats Credence and breaks the magic because he's, you know, infected with the bologna fingers or whatever. The family escapes home, but in the final seconds of the movie, the mom eats a lingering piece of poisoned food and turns into green slime and gets eaten by a group of goblins in her own kitchen while Joshua screams in horror.
What's she doing eating food? What is she doing?
I don't know. Like, as soon as she came home and opened up the fridge and there were apples in there, she should have clocked that as weird.
You have to clock that as weird.
Nobody keeps apples in the fridge. Goblins.
Goblins do.
Gotta be goblins.
That's stereotypical, though, Brian. Come on, you're better than that. Not much, but you're better than that.
To the goblin people, it's goblest of me.
I'm not saying there's a weird coincidence about this movie that involves this also, but hold on a sec. Not saying that you being inappropriate is J.K. Rowling's level of stereotypical, because what she did to goblins is so much worse than this.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not angry at you, Brian.
Sure.
I'm just disappointed.
Just disappointed. That's fair.
So the Harry Potter thing?
Yeah.
In the 1986 movie Troll, the two main characters named Harry Potter Jr. and Harry Potter Sr.
Stop it. If that had any connection to this movie, it would be fascinating. But that movie has no effect on anything in this movie.
There's a witch in this movie.
There is. Okay. You got me there.
Or she claims to be a witch. Does she do magic? Or does she just poison people? She could just be Russian.
At one point, she disguises herself as not gross. That could be considered magic.
It's Disney, and then there's an apple. Disney gonna sue somebody.
Well, it was corn in this one. Oh, but then there was an apple. There was a poison apple at the end.
But that is Troll 2.
That is.
That's it. That's the Troll 2.
I feel like I got green goo falling from my forehead right now. Just dripping.
The audacity of this movie. It's an Italian lady getting mad at her friends and writing a revenge script about it. In a way, she's pissed off at her friends, she writes a script about it, her husband wants to film it, and for some reason they shoot it in Utah.
As you do.
And they cast a dentist from Alabama as the lead.
I love that everybody that showed up for auditions thought they were going for just extras, and they just ended up being the leads in the movie.
No, you guys are the movie.
Okay.
But I have like 3 root canals scheduled that day. Yeah, just do them in the morning. We'll see you in the afternoon. You're the lead in our movie, though. You're a dentist. Oh, boy.
The audacity.
What do you think?
It's high.
Yeah, it's pretty darn high.
I mean, just the audacity to have a movie called Trolls 2 that doesn't have anything to do with Troll or have any trolls in it.
Oh, yeah, that's hard to argue.
That's before you even get into the contents of the movie, which are absolutely insane.
I almost vegetarian don't even care. Revenge. Like, this is just a lady had a thought. Let's make the thought. Let's make it. Who gives a shit? $100,000. Make a movie.
Let's just go to Utah and film this bitch. That's awesome, actually.
Fuck it. Send it up straight to the moon. That's what the crypto boys say.
Full
right?
Send.
HODL.
Full send. Yeah.
This will say that?
To the moon. I guess that's 10, and we're going to move on to Heart.
Nadia Fragoso.
I still don't know how I feel about this man.
I don't know.
The story's on set. He's just a very loud Italian yelly man who wants it his way. And there's a lot lost in translation, but he wants it his way.
And I don't know if that's because of his passion for the project or just his need for control.
And it's hard to say because watching this movie, he knows how to make a movie in the sense that he used a camera and then juxtaposed the different film strips into longer strips sequentially.
Right.
Into some order.
There's, like a cohesive story here, kind of.
He's very serious about filmmaking and thinks a lot of himself. He has that kind of hubris that you see in these more independent filmmakers, that he thinks that he's really above it all.
He thinks he's an auteur.
Well, he is.
I suppose.
I mean, hard stop. Yeah, he is. He is very much an auteur.
That's fair. But I don't think it's intentional.
I do and I don't. I don't know if he
I go back and forth on this.
Though. But see, also, I think that's he what's does interesting. Care. Like, oh, man. He's a fascinating
the things
man.
I heard from the people who were on set filming it, even though they couldn't really communicate, they say that he had a passion for the filmmaking.
And that's what I take away from it, too. So after watching the documentary, that's really where I got a lot from of really, like, you can read everything you want. But after really, like, seeing the people and seeing who they really are, not this movie.
Yeah.
It's so drastically different. Like, George Hardy is the happiest, go luckiest man of all time, I think. And he's a fucking dentist.
So he's not going to tighten his belt.
He's a fucking dentist. Who's never acted before.
Who has
the thickest Alabama accent I've ever heard.
Well, that's impressive then. Because that didn't come through at all in the movie.
No. No, this was Tom Hanks before he listened to the kid in Forrest Gump. That's what you're hearing here. This is a man who's forcing an accent.
Wow.
Because he is very much from Alabama. And he's a very happy man.
Maybe we saw some actual acting here.
No, I don't think you did. I think you saw a bunch of people trying their best. And that's okay, too,
that is
sometimes.
Okay.
Claudio Fragasso just wants to make movies. That's it.
I mean, he directed three movies in 1990.
He just wants to make movies. And he doesn't. He openly says, I don't make the movies for the critics. I don't give a shit.
Right.
These movies don't cost any money.
My wife had an idea about their vegetarian friends. I'm in a movie.
Make the movie.
Go to Utah.
Why not?
Make the movie.
Why not? How cool is that? 10. This movie's all heart. Oh,
there's no other reason to make it.
No, I mean, even the actors here, they're not actors.
No.
Some of them think they are. They're not. They're not.
Everybody's here just because they want to make a movie.
And that's okay, too.
That's great.
And then again, after now watching the documentary, it's like, no, you guys know what was shit about it, and you're leaning into it. That's fine, too. I love that.
Yeah. Technical incompetence.
I kind of want to go down the middle.
I can see why.
This is a fish out of water director who also doesn't have any money, but is also not bad at hiding that.
Yeah, I mean, he is making the best out of the budget he has, it seems.
He doesn't care about the goblins, let's face it. The way they look, he doesn't care at all.
The goblins are not important.
No, they're not the point. They're kind of like a Terry Gilliam, almost monster type thing, where it's like you're more of a solid face and... That was by design. This was because this was just paper mache.
Oh my God, they look so bad.
They're horrible.
But we'll get there in low budget ingenuity. Right now, technical incompetence.
I don't have much.
Yeah.
But also, I'm right down the middle.
He seems competent enough. I don't know how shackled he is by the constraints of his budget and how much is just hubris or a lack of communication. But
just
I don't
make movies.
I think he's fairly competent.
I do too.
Like there were no glaring issues with like editing and sound and lighting and that.
No Photoshop birds. Four.
I like it. Low budget ingenuity.
Is it high or is it low?
There's some really cool stuff they pull off, despite this only being a $100,000 movie.
There's some really neat tricks in this movie. I even said while we were watching it, there was this nice crane shot where they're pulling back on this lake to reveal, and it was shot beautifully. Yes. And I said, that shot's way too pretty to be in this movie.
That shot is way outside of the scope of this.
It was great.
Even like the popcorn death, as silly as it is, was a cool scene.
The man's competent enough that like he knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. Yeah. I mean, he's not breaking any rules per se. Yeah.
And as far as we already talked about the goblins, they look awful. And I think that's the only shortcoming here as far as budgetary.
I'm kind of curious though, because this is an Italian filmmaker who's not giving a shit about the dialogue again, but he's not doing ADR on it.
That's true. They shot this whole thing in 3 weeks.
Yeah, they did. low budget ingenuity. 7, 8, 8. I like it, damn it.
8. I think that for the budget.
9, I love it, damn it.
It is actually pretty impressive.
9, I love it, damn it.
I'm going to keep it. I'm keeping it at 8.
Okay.
You started at 7. I let you do 8.
I was going to 10 in my head. I was very much trying to think of where I was going to go with it, though. Right, like, move.
Just keep right going move. Up by one. Next category is genre exploitation. 11. What genre is this?
He named it Troll 2. Does it matter?
Does not matter. You can't get more exploitive than just making a sequel for a movie.
You didn't have anything to do.
You didn't make a sequel to. Absolutely insane.
Easy 11. Easiest 11 I think easy we've 11. Given so far.
This thing only exploits.
Oh, fuck. I love it. I love it so much.
The Holy Trinity. This is going to be a rough one. There's no boobs. There's no booms. We get a little bit of blood at the end when the witch is being defeated.
I will argue there are boobs.
Oh, yeah?
At the end when the mob is getting eaten.
Are there?
I'm pretty sure there are.
I don't remember that at all.
I'm going to the tape.
Run it back. Well, we're going to send this one up to the booth. And they're going to check the replay.
I hate that this is actually important. Let's go look for boobs. This makes it me feel like I just put the second tape of Titanic in.
It does a little bit.
All right, what is this little bastard up to? Going downstairs. Going to talk to his mom. She's getting eaten. There's the gobos just gobbling away. He's got acting all over his face. They might be boobs.
Really?
Really, really. Oh, God, that's so gross. It was like, it's like Garbage Pail levels. Garbage Pail Kid levels. Don't zoom in on that dead eyes. Don't care for that. Okay. I got to find a way to screenshot this for you.
Screenshot those dead mom goo boobs. You sicko.
I know. What is this show doing to me? / us.
Yeah, that's right. I'm not innocent here. What if I knew the whole time I just wanted to put you through this?
It's terrific because I actually forgot the last line of this movie where the goblin looks up and says, "Want some?" And it was like just the cherry on top of perfection.
Oh, shit.
Those are boobs. Those are boobs.
Those are boobs.
Dead mom goo boobs.
Those are dead mom goo boobs. Oh, my God. PG-13 Troll 2 found a way.
Brian, we got a 2 out of 3.
And it's a 2 out of 3. Meatloaf Matt says it's not bad.
I think we got ourselves a 7.
The I like it damn it
roundup.
Bump. I'm both glad and a little bit upset that we went through that and rehashed that.
I do too.
I feel weird
but
now.
But also, it was important. And we did it for
important.
You, the listeners.
Yeah, the things we
We're
put
on
ourselves
a list.
Through.
I'm sure of it.
This guy screenshotted the boobs from Troll 2 multiple times. Put him on the list. Memorable characters.
I don't know. Like, I know the meme.
I don't know either.
But like I might remember the kid a little. The dad I'm going to remember, but it's mostly just from the documentary, which it should be noted, the kid from this movie directed it.
Yeah.
It's really good. Oh, like, it's really, really good.
Damn it. I'm going to have to watch that before the screening in town on the 18th.
Memorable characters. I think I'm going to go with a 3.
I think 3 is fair.
By face, I'll get them. Because, by name, no way.
Yeah. Yeah. The one that is, I think, is weirdly going to stick with me more than some of the others is Don Packard, who just plays that weird guy who runs the drugstore.
Well.
That just happened to be there on, like, release from a mental hospital that day.
Yeah, and he acted with a child that he very much hated because the child was running around on the set. That's who the kid is in the movie. And yeah, this is a mental patient who was out for the day.
I also read
he does not remember doing
that
it.
He was just very, very high when he filmed all of his scenes.
And he also is the best actor in this movie.
Yeah.
Like his role in what he did and in his stares and the way he did. Oh,
he does such a good job. So good. He has no idea he's doing it.
All right, for him, 4.
4. Yeah. All right. Quotes. There's a big one here.
There's a lot of big ones here.
Yeah.
There's the obvious.
Right.
Oh my God. Which has been memed to death.
Apparently. I've somehow missed it, but it is out there.
Nilbog.
Nilbog. Backwards.
Goblin.
It's their kingdom. Oh,
backwards. He'd cut off your little nuts and eat them.
That's a line that was, forgot about that one.
There's no coffee in Nilbog. It's the devil's drink.
Oh my God.
I think the weirdest one in this entire movie, though, is when they're in the car driving to Nilbog and the mom turns around and says, sing that song that I like. And it's row, row, row your boat.
Sing that song that it's like a play it again, Sam. But it's row, row, row your boat.
Brian, this is an 11 for quotes. They're through the roof.
I think based solely on the they're eating her and then they're going to eat me. Oh my God. It has to be way up there.
We haven't said the big one. We haven't said the big one.
I'll allow it. An 11.
You can't piss on hospitality.
I
won't allow it.
I won't allow it. Honestly, underreaction. If my kid pissed on the table.
I mean, he carried him over his shoulder and whipped him around this narrow hallway. This kid should be like a tight end in the NFL by the age he's like 13.
Now we have to go hungry because you peed on all of our food.
11.
That is a rare instance of us doing 2 11s.
Yeah, I'm okay with it though.
Warranted. Next category is entertainment value.
11.
Stop it.
Let's keep going.
God, it's so much fun. It's so much fun.
It's designed to be watched with people.
Yeah. Watching this alone, I don't know how much fun that would be. I feel like you'd be like, what is this? Why am I watching this? But with people, which leads us right into cultability.
Brian.
You want to do another 11.
My sweet baby boy. An 11, if you would please. That'd be terrific. Thank you.
We broke it. We have broken the schlockometer.
Troll 2 was the one that did it. It was the one I was actually afraid that would do it.
Actually break it.
For what it's worth.
This is our highest scoring.
I don't want to hear it yet.
Okay. I'll let it marinate.
It needs to marinate a little bit. And you want to know what I want it to marinate in? I want it to marinate in the sweet juices. That is Roger Ebert's review from 2010. Have you read it?
No.
What do you think he gave it?
I have no idea what Roger gave this. I'm guessing a 1 out of 4.
Roger Ebert gave this movie a 3 out of 4, titled,
I see no
reason to doubt the claim of Troll 2. I bought the DVD of Troll 2 because a friend advised me to see it. You're busy, he told me. You don't have time to see every bad movie, so you might as well see the worst of all time. Yes, Troll 2 has a coveted 0% rating on the tomato meter, the lowest rated film ever made. 2010. It was a different time, Brian.
Yeah, okay.
A critic could become the most hated person in fan circles by awarding it even half a star and spoiling the perfection of that zero.
That has since happened.
I have always intended to view Troll 2. But I don't know. Never found the time. Now comes Best Worst Movie to save me the trouble. This is a documentary about what happens to you when you appear in Troll 2. It stars a dentist from a town in Alabama named George Hardy. He's a super nice guy. Even his ex-wife says so.
Okay.
But my point more is the documentary is really, really worth a watch for everybody. Because this is a review of the documentary, not actually Troll 2.
You. Now who's the Troll 2? But T-O-O, like also.
But in fairness, Roger says that you catch glimpses of Troll 2 in the movie. He says, don't ask me to explain. It's about vegetarian goblins who cause their human victims start growing branches and leaves. He doesn't really care all that much.
Yeah.
Seems like, but he gets it.
But he gets it.
And after watching that documentary and seeing this really underground fandom and seeing it grow through the eyes of someone who is there, but someone who's also holding the camera now, watching this thing grow around him and finding the people who are hosting Troll 2 parties, and more people keep joining every year. And it's just people finding their people.
It's an interesting community.
There was a really good quote in the documentary that I have not stopped thinking about. And it was just a random guy outside a theater where he said that bad food's going to taste bad. Bad books are going to be bad, but bad movies don't necessarily have to be bad. And I think that this is a special movie. This is a really special movie.
That's an interesting thought.
Yeah, and it's wild because watching the documentary also, you see George Hardy.
That's kind of crazy.
He doesn't understand this movie's big, and he starts learning about it, and he kind of gets dragged into it by going to screenings.
Yeah.
And like seeing the reaction of the people. He's just leaning into it. He understands what this movie is. And he's fully leaning. He's absolutely loving this spotlight, this stardom. He's loving it.
Oh, absolutely.
They get the gang all back together, except for Margot Prey. That's the mom. She legitimately has some issues going on. It's really, really, really hard to watch.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Oh, watch the documentary, folks. It's really, really good.
I'm definitely going to check it out.
It's fascinating watching like this guy, George Hardy, as he gets to the pinnacle of Troll 2 and like going to conventions and stuff. And then realizing no one gives a fuck about this movie outside of the people who very much give a fuck about this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And this cultability is more of a group of people finding their own people. They're finding people in this community of this movie that they found underground that they love, and they're sharing it with people, and they're always trying to like bring one more and bring one more. This is like one of those good Ponzi schemes.
Spreading bad movies. But
it's
understood movies.
It's a bad movie. Everyone knows it's a bad movie. No one's
right.
But a bad movie could be your favorite thing in the world. And absolutely. It is to a lot of these people.
A lot of them.
And I get it now.
I totally understand.
This is an easy 11.
I completely agree. It's the shared experience that makes these movies enjoyable. It's not that it's bad and it's funny that it's bad. It's that you get to laugh about it with other people.
Movies are meant to be watched with people. They're meant to be watched in a group.
Absolutely.
The movie theater is still the greatest place on the planet. Hard stop. When you get the right crowd, you know you're in for a good thing. Like I just went to see Spider-Man Brand New Day, and people started applauding and yelling at the screen when they saw the Marvel logo go up. And it was one of those, like, I'm with my people. This is good. It's important to find your people. And Troll 2 is very much that now.
That is, like, the beacon for this type of person.
But it's even to the point that, like, Claudio Fragasso, he's shown up in the United States with the whole cast. He's reunited with him completely.
Oh, wow.
And they, I don't know if they like him or not. They very much tolerate
him.
And he very much is a control person, very much a control person. But even while the cast is on stage bashing this movie, along with everyone else, and he understands, they're saying like, oh, we never felt really prepared on set. We never really had a script. He's like, no, you're remembering wrong. That's not how it was.
That's the impression I got too. Just from reading like interviews with Rossella Drudi.
But the thing that he kept saying that like, that's not how it was all filmmaking things. It was all things that there's absolutely no way someone who knows how to make a movie would ever forget. Mm. And he's very much defending filmmaking. And he's like, I know how to do this. Like, why are you saying that? I know how to do this. I mean, that's all it was. He's defending the profession, more than anything. I'm like, you remember it wrong. I'm not a fucking hack, but I am, but I'm not.
A little bit, but also not at all.
But he's leaned in, because even he's said now that he understands that he's made the worst movie ever made. That's what people call it. But he said, that's something.
Yeah.
I adore people who just go out and make movies.
Yeah, it's a very admirable thing to just go out and do the thing that's in your head.
What do we score?
It is our highest schlockometer score by a single point. We got an 87.
We finally have a new number one. It is about time.
It is.
Top of the list in so many ways.
We kind of knew that it was going to be a big one. I didn't know it was going to be this big before I saw the movie.
No, not at all. I am so happy that we saw this movie. I'm going to find this thing playing. I know you're going already to a screening.
It was one of the things that came up when I was doing research on this movie before we recorded. It showed Google just came up with showings. And I was like, I'm sorry, what? And there was a local one next month. And I was like, well, I might have to do that.
I think you absolutely should. I think everybody should. And also, I can't stress it enough. Best worst movie. It's on YouTube playing for free. Have a ball. Enjoy. It's great. I love making of documentaries. Yeah. And this was a really great looking back retrospective on what's known as worst movie ever made. And that's okay.
That's okay.
But alas, that's been Troll 2.
How the hell are we going to follow this one up?
Oh, I'm very happy that you asked that. And let's ask the computer and see what it's going to pop out. Because
let's
see. It's going to be a tough one. Fuck.
Oh?
Are you up for a challenge?
I guess.
That's good, because our next episode, we're going to be not talking about one movie. We're not going to be talking about
two movies. What in the world's happening right now?
We're not going to be talking about three movies. We're going to be talking about somewhere in the area of 150 to 200 movies.
What?
Because
how?
We are talking about it's not even 1983. It's like, I was going to say 1983 movie. It's not that. It's just a collection of movies that Len Sella filmed, put together, and called it moron movies. And it's just a 15-second little comedy sketches.
Oh.
There's a huge following behind them. But there's so many. And they're so short and so fast. It's kind of like Vine before Vine. And like TikTok before TikTok.
I'm very intrigued. I'm very into that. It's going to be impossible to talk about, but I'm very excited.
We're all going to figure it out together next episode when we talk about moron movies.
Moron movies. Definitely join us on Discord. I have a feeling that our next Monday night midnight madness is going to be one for the books. You can find the link in the show notes or on our website, bmovieboys.com. Also, join us on Patreon. Patreon.com/MacGuffin Studios. Mac like the burger, Guffin like a muffin. We've got all sorts of exclusive content that spans all of our shows up there. We just recorded our initial reaction to Spider-Man Brand New Day, and that'll go up sometime in the near future. So, you know, little spoilery guy that you can go back and listen to some KP thoughts.
You could hear the evolution of how it works. Hear about Tobey Maguire and 2's McGoobs and 3's McGee's and
Thorpe's McGorbs.
And Andrew Garfield.
Andy Garfs.
Andy Garfs.
Follow us on social media at BMovieBoys on Facebook and Instagram. Send your emails, especially if you thought of anything like the corn, sexier than corn cobs.
It has to be the first thing that you thought of.
First thought, best thought. BMovieBoysPod@gmail.com.
Brian, do you have anything else?
That is it for me.
Fantastic. You are all the absolute best. Thank you for hanging out with us week after week, month after month, year after year at this point. We're going to have to figure out how to do more on movies in a couple weeks. It's going to be a blast. I can't wait.
It's going
to
be fascinating.
In 2 weeks, more on movies. But until then...
They're eating her. And then they're going to eat me. Oh, my God!
Good journey!